Good evening, fellow fresh owners. Welcome to week 11. Yes, week 11. Only three more weeks to go till six make the playoffs and six go home. I'm Jacob Hyrule, Eric Golden, welcoming. We have a good cast on tonight here. I want to welcome Shane to the program. Hello, Shane. Say hello to the
everyone.
Well, thanks for coming on.
And we have our here, baby.
Nope. Yeah. And we have our commish, Skip. Say hello, Skip.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be on.
This is AJ, the Frenchman, who's making a guest appearance tonight. Thanks for a Friday night. I know you're probably getting. I know you're getting your lineup ready to.
I'm done. I made it tomorrow for the week, man. I feel good about it, leaving it alone.
You're in good shape. You're at 5-5. You're the only team at 5-5. You got Quint's right on your tail, though. Jules behind you. So these next three weeks,
all I can do is put up the best possible roster, put up week in and week out, man. I feel like things will take care of themselves.
Well, we want to wish you luck. We want to wish you luck this week. So every matchup is going to be nail biting. Especially when you got these Monday night games. These Monday night games, it's like you got a Sunday night, then you got Monday nights going down the wire. You got to wait all day. You got to spend your day at work, doing your job, collecting the cash, and then you got to sit and wait on the East. If you're on the East Coast, you got to wait till 8:30 in the evening, and that is on your mind all day. Especially if you need your plays to come through. It's amazing. It's Mondays are just crazy. Am I wrong, guys? Is that how you feel?
I agree with you. Considering how long a football game takes, I mean, it literally feels like you get 3 or 4 minutes of uninterrupted football before you have to see another commercial break. So, you know, I remember when we were younger, football games literally start at 1 o'clock and be done by 4 o'clock. And now it seems like every game we watch goes a little bit longer than four. You know, it's 4:25, 4:15, 4:20 when the game is ending. It takes forever. And when you got a game starting at 8:30 at night and you know it's going to take at least 3 hours at a minimum, you know you're going to end up spending in 12 o'clock at night before you get to sleep if you try to watch the end of the game on the West Coast.
Well, look at this past Monday night. Clint's putting up the points off the bat. I thought I'm done, and as I said before, first half, and then the second half is just totally the opposite. He couldn't get it done. I felt actually if I wasn't playing against him, I would have felt bad for him. So, but I still felt bad for him. I basically called it a night. I thought I was done. But you just don't know. Just because what happens in the first half, and you get that 20-minute halftime on ESPN, you come back and
yeah, man. I've definitely made the mistake of doing that before, where you feel like you got it, locked up in the bag, and then you go to sleep before the end of that second half of that Monday night game. And then you end up waking up the next day like, what the hell happened? I think we've all been there and got caught. Like, I don't know if there's many things that hurt more than getting beat on a Monday night. For me, this past week, having Matt Ryan lay an egg, or compared to what he normally puts up, and losing by a few points, that was rough. That was tough. I thought that was going to be the end of the 10-0 reign.
Yeah, Monday nights are definitely rough, especially when you have, two offensive forces, that you could consider the Giants and the Bengals to be. And, I mean, you just had a lot of fantasy players on teams that were with all those teams, and so you kind of felt obligated to look at the game and check on the scores and everything. And I know, like, if you were like me, you were running around. I was, like, at the gym during the game, and, I actually had to go get something to eat for my wife and, all these things were going on, but I was still constantly trying to check on the game. And, even more so when you have close fantasy scores like we did, when you had Eric and Clint going down to the wire with that game, and when you had Ross and Ish going down to the wire with that game, it just made it ultimately exciting. But, obviously I'm up way past midnight on Monday trying to see what the outcome is.
As a commish, how does that affect you having those late Monday nights as far as being able to get out, the recaps and synopsis of each game and, you know, doing your power rankings. All right, when you feel, do you feel like you have to be obligated to stay up all the way to the end of a Monday night?
Yeah, I think for my own sanity, yeah. Because I'm not only looking at this lead, I'm looking at other leagues. So I think kind of knowing where I stand everywhere. And then, you know, I do DFS too, so, you know, knowing where I stand there.
Well, I live out here in Henderson, Las Vegas. It's nice. Pretty much by 9 o'clock. So that's the benefit of living on the left coast. But I'm the same way. I had another league I was in. I needed Beckham to get 23 points. He got it done. And I won the league. So it's like this is the best league, but we do are in some other leagues. And sometimes you got one player on your team, and then you're facing the same player in another league. It's happened numerous times.
That definitely has happened to me before as well, Eric, where I was stuck with two different leagues with a player that I needed to blow up in one league in order to win. But in the other league, I'm up by 15, and I'm like, but I can't have him. Like, I remember one time I felt like I needed 20 to win, but in one league, it was like, if he scores 20, I'm going to lose. So I was like, which league do I want it more?
But it's all fun, though. That's what it's, you know, it's people don't understand fantasy football. It's like these players, we never met most of them, but it's like they're our family on our team. It's we tend to just latch on, and it's an odd feeling having players on your team. It's like that's what's great about this team. It's like it's my team. These guys, you know, Zeke and all the other players. It's like, it's just fun. That's why, and this league is just fun. That's why, you know, I want to give accolades to Skip for doing such a great job. He makes this league more fun than it is. So thank you, Commish. Anyway, just want to go over the week it was. It's like we were talking, it's crazy how this year, I haven't seen like a year like this. Things are happening you would not even think. Rookies are leading the way, and players you thought would be performing or not performing, and vice versa. So, Skip, how do you want to begin the program? You want to just go over last week, week 10?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, what I'll do, I'm going to go over what we had, our matchups last week, and then we'll get some comments from Shane and Skip. Let's start the list. Myself, 123, Jacob High Rolls over Sandy Ravage, 118. Clint had a chance to take me down, and didn't happen. But he's got a good team, so he's got a matchup this week. And we have Hassel Sincere Douche, that's Skip, 118 over Hassel Takeover. Couldn't even put up 90, 86. Not too good. That's not a good showing. So big win for the commish. We have Smoke on the Water, 134. And that would be Brad. Brad with a victory over King of Bench Points, 132. We have the great one. Ronnie stays undefeated, 10-0, 136 over the Frenchman, AJ, 129. About 130, so close win there. And then we have Simon, 148 over House Money, 121. And Chad, our high score for the week, a big win, keep his player hopes alive, stay away to 7. He had AB, Allen Robinson, and his cast of characters with a big win over JR, that goes down, 77 point blowout. So he's looking at his wounds for the second straight week. So
I mean, damn, like, granted,
that's embarrassing.
I mean, I don't know. I thought mine was embarrassing, giving Smoke his first win. But damn, I'm a 77 point blowout. I don't know. I think I'd rather give a winless team their first win than have a 77 point. It's like your team just laid out and died.
Plus, he got blown out by myself the week before by 52 points. So He's heading, you know, that took about probably the worst 2 weeks any team's had in a long time. That's disgraceful, JR.
It really is.
He calls himself a playoff contender. I don't know about that. I think Brad might, if he plays him, he might beat him. He's heading, you know, we don't mean to pile on, but that's you lose by 77 points. You deserve to be piled on. Am I wrong, Skip?
No, you're absolutely right. Continue the piling.
Yep. Pile, pile, pile.
Pile, you know, pile, pile. Yes.
We'll get to that later. And we'll finish up with Ish 131 over Ross 129. That was a close game. So that was a close game.
To be as close, but the fact that it was, I honestly expected Ross to pull that one out. And his team let him down at the end, which I think is kind of scary.
Yeah, something interesting about that game is it actually came down to the Giants versus the Bengals. And in fact, for a long time, Ross was actually leading Ish because Sterling Shepard scored that touchdown. And then Ish kind of came around. Beckham actually caught a few balls, and it shifted the balance. And for the remainder of the way, it was Ish.
And see, that goes back to what we were talking about, how wacky this season has been. You know, rookie quarterbacks going on 7-8 game win streaks, coupled with a rookie running back, talking about Dak and Zeke out in Dallas. That's crazy. The Patriots, we'll talk about them another time, Chris. I don't want to stir you up. But this season has been very interesting and wacky, and I think our scores from week to week reflect just how wild and unpredictable it is in the league. It's crazy. It's fun. For some, it's great. For me, it's been hell.
Well, I think week 10 in particular was extremely emblematic of how much parity we have in the league, just because if you look at the scores, and Eric, you said them, we had three really close games. And, you know, I would venture to say that four of the seven were actually pretty close. So, you know, just seeing the week 10 scores really shows us the amount of parity that's in the league, that, you know, all the teams are basically good. There are only a few bad teams. And in general, week after week, people can win.
Well, we'll take my matchup. You know, Monday night, my matchup with Clint came down. Monday night, it was all Bengals. We were neck and neck. I was up by 30 plus points, but he had Eifert. He had Bernard, and he had A.J. Green. I had Boyd and Jeremy Hill. Obviously, his three plays are much better than my two. He picked up I didn't catch the beginning of the game, but I looked at my score. He had like 18 points within the first 3 minutes. The Bengals, just, you know, A.J. and Bernard, and Eifert got 76 yards on one play. So I thought I was going to go lose big time. You know, he just second half, the Bengals just, you know, fell apart. And he had a chance on the last drive, and his players couldn't get it done. So it was interesting. I've never seen five players from one team on two different, you know, play each other go down to the final night.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the National Football League. They have, you know, teams that have a wealth of fantasy players. And then when you get two of those teams playing each other, it really leads to a good time.
Well, let's have Skip. You want to talk about your game briefly?
Sure. So I beat Jewel, as you mentioned. She couldn't actually crack 90 points. I ended up beating her 118 to 86. And, you know, it was a dogfight. You know, I'll admit, I didn't actually think I'd win. And in fact, I was actually, I was projected to lose by about 30 points. So I'm pretty excited that I actually won by about 30. And it turns out that my players didn't really come to play that much, but I did get a considerable effort from Dez Bryant. You know, obviously that Dallas-Pittsburgh game was one that will be talked about for the ages. You know, it was really emblematic of the NFL and the state of the NFL now. And I think it really helped the NFL's ratings this year that seemed to be dwindling. But everyone else on my team, they stunk. Aaron Rodgers did well. Obviously, there was a shootout in Tennessee. Tennessee was blowing out Green Bay early, and Aaron Rodgers had to come back and get the Packers back into the game with his arm. And then the other player that actually produced was Julius Thomas. He ended up having a touchdown in that game versus Houston that they lost by 3. Otherwise, my guys didn't produce. But fortunately, Jewel only had David Johnson who produced and pretty much no one else.
Which is kind of the epitome of what has happened to her since she's been in the Extraordinarily Fresh League.
Pretty much. I think she's, you know, kind of really spurning my proclamation earlier that she'd be the one to sneak into the playoffs. She's not doing a great job. Get it right, Jewel. Get it right.
Let's go over the standings. I think it's this point of the year. We haven't really done that, but I like to go over the standings, where we all stand in the league. With only three weeks to go. Ronnie 10-0. You know, he's clinched his playoff spot. I'm 9-1. I don't think I've clinched, but I'm just about there. Then we have I don't know how he's still in third. JR. Talk team, you know, sorry, JR. We just have to do. When you lose by over 120 points in 2 weeks, you deserve the piling on. I'm sorry. You know, nothing against you. You're a good guy. But if it was my team too, I'd get piled on. But 6-4, and he's got Ross right behind him at 6-4. They're only separated by 30 points. Simon 6-4 too. He's come out of nowhere, and he's behind about 100, over 100 points though between JR and Ross. So he's got some points to make up, because if he starts losing some games, he's got, you know, he's got AJ. He's 5-5, but he's got 140 points more than Simon. So Simon needs to keep winning, and he'll get into the playoffs. AJ, like I said last week, Skip mentioned AJ losing. That changed the whole seeding right now. That loss last week just changed things up. He's 5-5, but I think he's in good shape. He's got to keep on winning, and he'll get in the playoffs. Then you have six teams at 4-6. And, you know, Clint, he leads these point totals are pretty close. You have Clint, Jewel, and Chad. They're separated by 31 points between the three of them. So those three are right there. Then Skip's 4-6 too. He's a little behind the points. And you have Roland. He's pretty much right behind Skip. And then Ish is over almost 100 points behind Skip. So he's got some work to do. And Shane at 3-7, and Brad 1-9. So these next 3 weeks are going to be key. I haven't even looked at who's playing who. It's going to be knockout. I think Elimination Central, some of these teams are playing each other.
I'm just going to let it be known now. I'm playing spoiler. Damn the records. Damn the points. If you're near the top, if you're fighting for that last place, I'm trying to make you join me in the consolation bracket so we can have a conversation.
And I assume these teams that are all 4-6 probably want me and Ronnie to just keep winning so we can knock some of these guys down.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I actually looked at the schedule, and at least for this week, there are no 4-6 teams playing each other. And that's actually particularly important, because what that means is that there are 2 6-4 teams playing 4-6 teams. And so, you know, if you're one of those 4-6 teams, you're kind of conflicted because you don't know whether or not you want the 6-4 or the 4-6 team to win.
At this point, you gotta score points. You gotta win to get in, but it's not just winning. You have to get the points. And that's what I was saying earlier. Everybody's so close, it really makes it difficult because ultimately you can have a better record, but if it becomes a tiebreaker situation, it's going to come down to points. And if you don't have them, you'll be sitting on the sideline with me.
Seriously, if you put up 81 points, that can actually crush you if one of the other 4-6 teams puts up 150. That could just – it can pile you down. It can take you from 5th to 9th or somewhere, right? It can change everything. So, we just go over anything you guys see surprising going on right now, plays you think that can actually lead teams to championships. Shane, let's start with you. Anything you're seeing? Anything you're noticing that could be a big good place? Could be playing a big role down the stretch.
Well, in terms of players, I'll take it a step further. I'm going to go a complete team, and it's your team, sir. You should have lost when you played me. It didn't happen. My team faltered near the end. You had some great overachievers, but that seems to be the theme for you this year. You're like underdog. You come out with your cape. You have like a 20 to 30 point undercarriage in the beginning. In some kind of way, it's like your players sense your demise, and they're like, "We got to win one for the skipper," and they pull this miraculous damn turnaround, and it leaves your opponent scratching his head like, "How in the hell did this happen?" I know that's what happened to me. You, sir, have a team that on paper should probably be in a different place than where you are. But given the craziness from this league and just the NFL itself this year, I'm going to go with your team because ultimately, Eric, what it boils down to is trying to figure out how you've maintained this success. Your players on paper, they're mid-tier players, but they're putting up top-of-the-line numbers. I cannot ignore that, and I have to give you props for that. You saw the silver lining that a lot of us ignored, so kudos to you, sir.
Well, thank you, Shane. I appreciate that honest feedback. I'll tell you, I picked up Dak, and the goal, I wasn't even surprised. I picked him up. He was on the waiver wire, and I've been combining with Zeke, and with that 70-yard pass between the two of them, I got about 18 points on one play. So thank you. I don't know how I do it, to be honest. I think what you said is the truth. I'm a pretty honest person. I don't know how I'm doing it, but not complaining. I haven't made one trade, too. I figured I might as well just leave things the way they are. I've lost CJ. CJ went down. Lost him. Langford's been he turned out to be a disaster. So just hang in there. Thank you. How about you, Skip? Anything you want to add? What do you think next 3 weeks? Players or teams you see that could make a big difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of teams, there are a few teams, and, you know, I guess I'll start on the fantasy end. A few teams that can kind of make a difference in the league. I think that Simon is actually someone who could make a difference. I saw that he has a number of very interesting matchups coming up within the next few weeks. And, you know, it starts with Shane this week, but then, you know, Simon's going to pick up Chad next week. And that could be the deal breaker for Chad if he ends up losing to Simon in week 12. And then, of course, Simon will have Ross in week 13. And if Ross, let's say, loses this week and, you know, perhaps squeaks out a win that next week, he could still be out the playoffs if Simon knocks him out in week 13. So I think, you know, you really have to watch to see what Simon's team does over the next 3 weeks. And then in terms of NFL teams, I think, you know, there are a number of teams who have some really, really juicy schedules. And, you know, the first of which I think is the Atlanta Falcons. And so the players that I'm looking at, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you know, I think they have a very juicy schedule down the stretch, and they're, you know, some players that you need to watch going forward. Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, you mentioned today, Todd Gurley, the playoff schedule he's got.
Yeah, the playoff schedule for Todd Gurley is very enticing. And in fact, you know, I mentioned on the hangout on the actual GroupMe that I was interested in acquiring him because of that playoff schedule. And I was really just looking at weeks 14 and 16. Todd Gurley has Atlanta and he has San Francisco, two horrendous run defenses. No offense, Shane. And
none taken. Truth doesn't hurt.
And so, you know, I see that, you know, obviously they have offensive line issues. Obviously they have quarterback issues. And obviously defenses are pinning back their ears and targeting him and putting 11 dudes in the box just to stop him. But, you know, if there's a glimmer of hope, it's that Jared Goff can perhaps be better than Case Keenum and perhaps provide some type of threat that will keep teams from trying to just get Todd Gurley down.
Any particular big waiver pickups this week you noticed?
Big waiver pickups? Not really. I mean, I think there are some waiver opportunities. I think, you know, we saw that AJ obviously with, what was it, six players on a bye this week? You had to make some waiver pickups, and you got Will Tye. I mean, he performed well in that Cincinnati Monday night game, so, you know, maybe that carries over to this week. And then you also got
– isn't, like, lights out, so there's an opportunity there for him. So, you know what I mean? For a fill-in, I can't complain.
Right. And then you got – you also got Benny Cunningham, right?
Yes. So both of them I think are going to be contributing members to my team this week. I think they both – have the potential of double-digit scores. And honestly, if I can get, you know, double digits out of both of them, you can't ask for more, you know? So I'm just, you know, at this point, I needed to get by this week. So when I get by this week, I think my roster is going to be where it needs to be. Especially the one thing I'm happy about throughout this season is I have definitely increased my depth across the board. One or two key pickups throughout the year. And I think that I have a team that's built to do well in the playoffs. So I think at this point, that's all we can, all of us are shooting for. You know, not only do we have to get into the playoffs, but you have to align your team to a place to where you, if you do make it, when and if you actually can get past round one, round two, and into the finals in this league. You know, it's not a foregone conclusion to make a championship in this league. We're able to speak into the finals.
Well, I'm actually happy. Some of my waiver pickups. I thought my team actually has more depth in the beginning of the year. I picked up Brait and Humphreys, and these guys are not putting up big numbers. But I got Vance McDonald on the bench as a backup tight end. So personally, I think my bench has gotten a little bit stronger. It's still got some weaknesses, but compared to some other benches, I can't complain.
Yeah, in terms of pickups this week, I made a couple that, you know, I think are somewhat underrated, but, you know, could be amplified in this league. And, you know, one was Akeem Hunt. He actually got some run when Lamar Miller was hurt in the previous game. And, you know, I think he will actually have a role going forward, especially with Alfred Blue being pronounced out already for the game in Mexico on Monday. And then Lamar Miller actually being a little hobbled and they're managing his reps in practice this week. So Akeem Hunt could have some relevance going forward. And the Texans actually have a pretty good schedule for running backs going forward. And then the other was Malcolm Mitchell of the New England Patriots. I had a little bit of inside intelligence on that with one of my friends who works with the Patriots. But basically, if you looked at the number of snaps in two wide sets, Malcolm Mitchell was the receiver dominating those. And then with Chris Hogan being hobbled now and actually being pronounced out for the game at San Francisco, it's going to be interesting to see how the team uses Malcolm Mitchell. And they actually do view him pretty highly. He was a highly regarded wide receiver from Georgia.
You know, Shane, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the awoke one or the awakening. Kristen Michael, you know, obviously he was cut from the Seattle Seahawks and ended up going through the waiver process. Ended up getting picked up by Green Bay. He was also claimed by Minnesota. But you actually dropped him to the wire, and he's actually on the wire tonight. Do you think he gets picked up?
You know, That's a tough one. When you look at Green Bay's offense, I think him going there would be, he would be serviceable for them. We know they're a pass-heavy offense, but I really feel, though, as though with the injuries that they've had at running back, which seems to be a consistent theme out of Green Bay over the course of the last 3 years, I honestly think that he does get picked up because somebody's going to stash him on the bench. And because running backs has been one of the hardest things to come by, particularly in the league this year. And I think the reason why I dropped him was because when I looked at my team, given that I had some trade offers and I had one with you in particular, Skip, and I chose not to take it simply because I wanted to try and get another running back, another serviceable running back. You know, I decided to drop him, let him free. Somebody will pick him up, in my opinion. I think I'm just going to stash him to be able to potentially use as a flex position going forward, because as we know, when it starts getting into the latter part of the year, Green Bay's offense becomes more run heavy than pass heavy. So if he's there and if he can stay healthy and out of trouble, I think it'll definitely prove to be beneficial for whoever will get him. But as the Seahawks time with Mike, so was it with me. I had to let him go.
Yeah, I think one thing we have seen is that James Starks actually isn't a good player. So, you know, I think you have that going for you that you know, whoever picks up Christian Michael, Godspeed to you, first of all. But then second of all, Christian, you know, James Starks isn't a very good player in front of him.
Well, James Starks is only gets his points because he's a volume player. When Lacy's injured or whatever, he really is a bad player. He's not very good.
So, hey, guys, I'm honestly, I was pretty ignorant to what was going on with Christian Michael right now. So he got picked up by the Green Bay Packers, correct? So is he going to be the number one running back out there now?
No, I don't even think he'll be active this week. You know, I think best case scenario, we're talking about number three, even behind Ty Montgomery, but maybe working his way up to number two. And then, you know, James Starks, like we said, is not very good. So if McCarthy ends up growing tired of James Starks, he may give Michael a shot.
I've never seen a team drop a player like that after he's been – I've never been a fan of Michael, but he wasn't doing that bad, was he? I know he's not for he was getting all the touches. I don't know how you just get cut like that.
You know, I think there were a combination of factors, not – the least of which was that I think there were lots of reports that were coming out that were saying that he was freelancing. So he wasn't actually following the blocking schemes. He wasn't following the plays that were drawn out, and he was really trying to break open these big runs, but wasn't actually following his blockers. And so he ended up getting swallowed up at the line of scrimmage. And I think, you know, with a guy like Pete Carroll, that kind of eats at him. He really wants his guys to follow the blocking, take what's given, and gain chunk yards.
Yeah, that's what happens in the league when you are in a position and you cannot go out on your own and make it happen. He definitely wasn't following Carroll's lead in terms of what he wanted. And, yes, that is one of Pete Carroll's pet peeves. And so this isn't the first time that Michael's been in the league and has had this issue. So I think ultimately Pete, being in the position that he is in Seattle, said, you know what, I've had enough. It's time for you to be gone. And, you know, if you can't abide by the rules that we need, that we have in place, we don't need you here. And, you know, it's kind of like in the NBA when you have that superstar that kind of goes out on the floor and does what he wants and it costs games. You know, you tend to tolerate that because basketball is much lighter in terms of the amount of pressures and what one person can do. In football, it generally takes a team effort. If all my blockers are going left, I can't run right and expect great things to happen. It's just not going to work that way. So you definitely have to look at it in terms of being able to follow instructions and lead of your coach, and he wasn't doing that. So ultimately, yes, it led to his demise. And he's serviceable. But I think ultimately it's just teams looking for warm bodies should they happen to get into the playoffs.
Skip, do you want to go over the power rankings? Want to go over that next, the commission report?
Sure, I could do that. All right, so for the commission's power rankings, turns out they actually aren't much different than last week. Even though there was a lot of movement in terms of teams being close and having close scores and things of that nature, the movement within the power rankings didn't really happen as we probably would have thought it would. And so, you know, I'll start with the top two. They're obviously the same. Top Ronnie at 10-0, and then Eric, you at 9-1. Those, I think, are the obvious placements. And then in terms of 3 and 4, they are actually flipped. So I do have Ross at 3, and then Jay at 4. And then I have AJ at 5. Now, all three of them actually lost last week, so it's very difficult to kind of place them there. But going forward, they do look like they will actually squeak into the playoffs, and there has to be something catastrophic that happens for them. At number 6, I have Chad. And then at number 7, I have Jewel. And then at number 8, I actually have Clint. Number 9 is Simon. And Simon's going to move up, obviously, especially if he wins this week. Number 10, I have Roland. At number 11, I have Shane. And at number 12, I have Ish. And then 13, I have myself. And then 14, of course, is Brad, even though he got his first win of the season. So that's, in general, the power rankings. And I think it reflects more so kind of how I expect people to finish the season, not necessarily where they stand right now. And then some of those teams that are lower in the power rankings may actually make the playoffs. And, of course, I'll adjust them in week 13.
Thank you, Skip, for the commissioner report. Great job, as always. Well, fresh owners, we have a special guest tonight. Our winning top scorer in week number 10 and still defending champion, 7. How are you tonight, sir?
Awesome, Eric. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Well, thanks for coming on.
The champ is back.
Well, glad to have you. I know, everyone's got a lot going on. I know you got going on. Got Thanksgiving next week. Want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, too. But I wanted to bring you on just as Skip being commissioner says, our winning team, the top score for the week, gets to come on and do some smack talk. So since you're playing me this week, what a perfect time. What a coincidence.
You got
so, Chad, the floor is all yours. Take it away.
Take it away. Well, who thought it would be 10 weeks before I'd be on here as high points? If it took this long. Just goes to show how terrible my year is going for me.
I didn't think it would take this long.
I can't believe it, you know? But I'm not out of it yet. Not out of it yet. I've got, the way I see it, I think if I get to 7-6, I can squeeze my way in there, and then all bets are off.
Well, Chad, why don't you tell us who the key players that got you to be the top dog for the week, and who may, I know you had to score, but anyone who may have disappointed you a little, just give feedback and just feedback what you think happened in week 10 too, just an overall analysis of week 10.
Well, it started when I couldn't get Mr. JR to respond to any smack talk, and he had to be goaded by the commish to respond. And you really can't respond when your team loses Super Bowls. There's no response to that. But at least he got on there and tried to make some defense. It seems like the weeks that I really do well is when Baldwin has a good week. He seems to be that guy where 25, 30 points or 6. And every week that he has a good week, my team just rolls because I've got enough depth around him. So I'm hoping this week, that he keeps it going. Russell Wilson being hurt early in the season, I think, really hurt him. It looks like Wilson's coming around. So if he can keep it rolling, Brown has a good matchup. Allen Robinson's got another good matchup. that's kind of hurt me. I'm starting to think this Madden curse thing is real. I mean, how many guys have you seen go down like this?
Well, I just think the law of averages, you know, Bortles is not that bad a quarterback. You know, A-Rob is starting to take off. You know, it's just these guys are professional players. They didn't just get in this position. I believe there's schedule and there's things out of control, things that you can't control, why some of these players don't perform. But in the end, long term, the guys you have on your team are just studs. Your wide receivers especially.
So you've got to roll with them. You got to just keep rolling them out there and see how it comes around. I made some deals. I got my quarterback situation, my punt quarterback theory this year has hurt me pretty bad, but I made some deals and I got a fill in this week. I think Stafford, yeah, he won me the title last year. So I think we know he can do it. It's a matter of him putting it together out there.
Well, I think the QB 2 or 3, I still think it's the best strategy you had. You just picked the wrong player, but you look at this at the total points, there's not a big gap between the number one QB and the number, 12 QB. So you had the right strategy. So
perhaps. Yeah, it's hard to say for sure. I think that Mr. Rowland taking those two QBs actually ended up hurting me a little bit because it thinned them out just that one quarterback. You know, instead of me getting the 14th quarterback, I got down to the 15th, 16th before I could snag one. My other position players are so strong, at least my receivers, like running backs are questionable, but catching guys that keep me going. But, this week, Mr. Eric, you've been on a streak, man. It's going to end this week, I'm afraid. I've got too much on the line. You got nothing to play for. You got your bye locked up, right?
Well,
do you have your bye locked up yet?
I don't think not officially, but I want to catch just a great one. I want first place, so I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing the title. So
you're not throwing it in?
No, no. I play to win, and I think you have a good one. I like your roster. You just haven't had some breaks.
You know what? Remember about 6 weeks ago where I bet you that I would beat you in points or record, and I gave you your choice, and you would not take it? Do you remember that?
I do remember. I like your team.
On Hangout, on chat.
Oh, I agree. I remember that.
I offered to bet you that I would beat you in total points or I would beat you in record by the end of the year, and you did not take that bet.
Oh, because I know you have a good team, Chat. I have to be honest.
You should have taken the bet. You have me.
I'm losing enough money. I think I'm losing enough money this year already.
Yeah, you know what? Your running backs, I mean, that just goes to show there's not one way to win. There's more than one way to win. It's just you got to get things to fall your way.
Absolutely. I almost fell to the trap of forgetting that when he had those two QBs he spent, house money, spent all that money. I almost fell for the trap. Luckily, I didn't get into that trap of Newton and Wilson. $78 for two quarterbacks. I don't think that was a very good strategy. So I'm lucky because then I said I better put my money in my QB, my RBs.
Yep.
All right, so Chad,
what's up?
What do you have to say to JR? I know he responded after I kind of goaded him into responding. But now that, you beat him, you got high points, and it was a blowout, realistically, say to him.
Oh, I can't say nothing mean to JR. He's a good guy.
I think JR's been blown out 2 weeks in a row now. JR's been blown out.
It's all in good fun. You know, I think we all realize that he's in for the slide down. He's probably going to end up maybe sixth if he's lucky. There's not much there.
I agree.
That's two blowouts for JR in a row now. 50 points, and I don't know how many points you beat him by. So maybe he was just.
They must be working him to death down there in Dallas,
I think he gets the award for most overrated team of the year.
Oh, wow.
Now, that would be Mr. Ronald was the most overrated team ever. I mean, look at that squad. You tell me that squad is undefeated. I mean, it's just garbage piled on top of garbage. It's like every week it falls just exactly the way it has to for him. It's going to end very soon.
Well, he doesn't realize if week one, if Kirk Cousins doesn't throw that INT, I'm 10-0 too. So, but I'm not. But, you know,
that was not. I remember that. That was brutal at the time.
And Chad sent a group me message. Here comes an INT, and
yeah,
I know you felt bad after you did. I know it was you were kidding, but I kind of said it to myself. I could see this happening.
Yeah, I was on full.
The best part of Ronnie being undefeated right now is that he is going to spectacularly, and it's going to be so awesome. I'm predicting a week 14, just complete fall apart. It's going to be epic.
Great one. We still love you, though. Anyone else on the list, Chad, you want to go after?
No, not really.
Well, Chad,
I'm just trying to make my way in. I got Eric this week, and then I forget who I have next week, and then Mr. Ronnie. So.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Can't wish you luck this week. So
good luck. Good luck.
Now, if you do want to be your Thanksgiving treat,
you know, it kind of hurts a little bit. You might be able to take me with Gronk coming. You know, not playing. I just traded Rudolph literally a couple hours before that news came out. Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, you got Green though. I think he's playing.
I do have Green to fill in, but and I kind of wish I had Rudolph now. But I needed a quarterback this week on bye. I've got to win, so I had to do something. Well, I wasn't rolling Cutler out there again.
Well, all fun. It's going to be a fun matchup. We'll have to root me after the game, and want to wish the defending champ a great Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming on, champ.
Thanks.
What we'll do next, guys? Want to go to the mattress for week 11?
Sure, we can do that. I first want to say that I expect Brad to send me a great Christmas gift because I gave him his first victory.
But Brad's a good guy. You know, I'm glad he won. He's had some bad luck. You know, he finally got what he deserves to win. He's better than Wooded Bag. We all know that. So hey, hope if he can take three more, you know, finishing at 4-9 is very respectable for the year. So good luck, Brad. I hope you win this week. I don't play Brad this year, actually. That's the one team I do not play. All right, let's go to the schedule for the week. We'll start out with the team in first place. Of course, that's the great one. He's playing Skip, and he's favored to win by two. It's not going to be a tight match, so let's see if Skip can take down the great one, 10-0. So anything, Skip, you want to comment about the matchup? Anything you want to say to the great one?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is no secret, and, you know, he's probably noticed, but I have made moves specifically to beat him this week. I kind of figure I'm not going to make the playoffs. I think I'm one of those 4-6 teams that's kind of on the bubble. But if I can actually beat Ronnie, I think that'll make my season. So I'm trying to, you know, defeat the great undefeated.
Well, good luck, Skip. Hope you beat him. I play him next week, and if I can win this and win next week, I'll take over first. So hopefully you'll beat him this week. Good luck. Next we have Ross. Fresh Crew one is favored over Hostile Takeover by 2 points. That's going to be a close match, it looks like. Then we have House Money is favored by less than half a point over AJ. So those look like an even matchup on paper. We'll see. Good luck to both you gentlemen. We have looks like JR is favored over Clint by 6. These all look like close matchups. We have King of Bench Points favored over Simon by 3. And
woo!
Ish is favored by 11 over Smoke on the Water. So that looks like probably one of the biggest, that's the highest difference in the week. And last is myself. I am an 8-point underdog to Chad. I'm an underdog. Seem like I'm an underdog every week. So I'm not favored to win. So
yes, and that goes back to why I said that your team has been the biggest surprise. Every week, every single week, your team is like right around that 110, 115 mark, and you put up like 140, 150, 160. I promise you, it's like your individual players are in a group, man. They're like, hey, guys, the captain's down. We got to step it up. It's the most outrageous and egregious thing I've ever seen in life. I don't get it. But you know what? It happens. Now, Chris, this will be one of the first times. This is the first time we've ever had a team undefeated this late in the season and a team with only one loss this late in the season. Am I correct with that? I mean, we're truly making history. And I don't think we've had this many teams clustered together this late in the season either. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, this is kind of, it's a causative thing, it seems, you know, and at least in my opinion, it does. And it's just, you have a 10-0 team, you have a 9-1 team. And so now basically that forces everyone else to be clustered in the middle. But not only do you have that 10-0 team and that 9-1 team, but you also have a 1-9 team. So just kind of mathematically, it kind of works out so that everyone's going to be clustered in the middle. But yeah, I don't think we've ever seen this. I mean, obviously we haven't had a 10-0 team, you know, but even so, I don't think we've had a 9-1 team with that 10-0 team. It's really odd, very odd.
I just think the whole football season's been odd. It's kind of just the NFL. Things are happening you don't usually see. I can't explain it. Just. Some teams just, it's hard to explain, just watching the games every Sunday. Okay, well, I'd like to thank all the fresh owners who have joined our podcast tonight. Kamish, Shane, AJ, thanks for coming on, guys. Oh, Chad was great last night. He, I don't think I ever spoke to Chad, heard his on a podcast before, so it was great to finally hear him. He's got a good team. I'm going to have my hands full this weekend. I'm on the dog once again. I wish him luck to a point, but hope he scores one less point than me. But good luck to all you guys. You guys got great teams. I hope you all win. And I'll wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Are we going to have a cast next week, Skip, or?
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about that. I had it in the schedule as being recorded next Saturday. So, you know, gave everyone time to be with their families for Thanksgiving. And, you know, perhaps we'll take it on Saturday to do it.
That would work. That would work. Well, we're going to sign off from here, guys. Thanks again for joining, and have a great weekend, everyone.